From JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Mike.
So let's crunch a few numbers. Let's work through a bit of housing data. What do we know?
Housing data? Yeah. So yesterday we had the release of the REINZ house price and sales data for July. So that's the Real Estate Institute of New Zealand. And it's always good to get an update on New Zealand's favourite investment asset class. I think you've been talking about this morning. Now, this, Mike, there's a bit of a theme that's been running through the New Zealand economic data over the last few months. And we're actually seeing continuation of that in this data. So what this is regions good, Auckland not so good. So the biggest urban population in New Zealand is actually being a bit of a break on the rest of New Zealand. So what are the numbers, Mike? What are the numbers? House prices, they rose 6.2% year on year. That's the median house price rise. But if you take Auckland out of the mix, the national average up 8.6%. So Auckland by itself down 0.1% year on year. So pretty flat, I think we'd call that. Flatlining, I think, is the good adjective. Now, look, Mike, I know July is a pretty quiet month. It's the middle of winter and all that. But momentum, much, I think, has slowed. And if you look at the monthly data, the median national house price down 1.8%. in the last month. So we are seeing a little bit of momentum falling out. We'll see what picks up in spring. Mike, I think a reasonably fair question is why? I mean, why is Auckland decoupling from the rest of the country? And it's actually not immediately obvious. We know migration is declining. So we know that a lot of the people that come in want to live in Auckland. So we assume that factor is actually, you know, is softening a little bit. I think we can assume that supply will increase in Auckland, Mike. I think that's what the consent issuance is signalling. And then, of course, we've got that factor of, you know, slowing cities across the Tasman. But it's not immediately obvious. You're sort of seeing the same issue in the REINZ do a house price index as well. Now, it looks like supply is a constraint outside of Auckland. They don't have enough inventory. I mean, I don't know, Mike, we've talked about this before. Auckland, to me, looks like it's just normalising.
Exactly.
Which is a good thing. I mean, and actually a price fall would correct some of that affordability issues we've got at the moment. You know, the days to sell is pushing out. Hey, Mike, one thing I think could be key here is think about the last couple of weeks or the last week. We've seen quite a change in the Reserve Bank stance on interest rates. And I think that could be an important sort of...
Exactly. If you know money's not moving till well into 2020, you're a bit more bullish, aren't you?
Yeah, and so I think that's a pretty strong signal. So I think the next 6 months could be quite fascinating on the housing market, actually.
Okay, talk to me about the Chinese share market and what's been happening there and whether the trade's having any sort of effect.
Yeah, well, actually, yeah, here we go. We've talked about this a few times as well, actually, about the fact that the Chinese share market is a bit weaker, and I see Trump's even waving the fact around as a sign that his tariffs are working. But I think there might be a bit more going on than just tariffs. I think the speculative element in the Chinese share market has been well and truly extinguished. But let's just have a quick look at the numbers, Mike. We love numbers. We like the numbers. Late January, Shanghai Composite, 3,587. In the last couple of weeks, it's fallen below 2,700. So we're around 25% lower than the previous high back in January. So that's a pretty significant fall. That's bear market stuff. But if you look at the market in a bit more detail, the last couple of days, Mike, one of the poster childs of the Chinese share market has been absolutely thumped, Tencent. Now, social media company, huge, a lot of different businesses, got that hugely popular mobile chat service, WeChat. I'm pretty sure that Tencent is Asia's most valuable company. So it's one of what they call the bat stocks. Baidu, Alibaba, Tencent. It's down 30%.
Wow.
Put that into context, $150 billion wiped off its market value. But the last couple of days, Mike, it's been thumped again. Overnight, it's been thumped. It's posted the first quarterly loss in 13 years. And the thing is, Mike, actually, this has spooked markets right around the world overnight. So we're seeing markets a lot weaker. So I think this is a Facebook moment, you know.
Okay.
This thing's a big company. 1 billion people use WeChat.
Wow.
So it's actually flowing into markets right around the world. And I think our market will come under pressure this morning as well.
And just for clarification, 10 cents, no relation to 50 cent. Now, what are the numbers?
Thanks for that, Mike.
No worries.
Dow Jones, 25,054. They are down 244 or 0.97%. S&P 500, 2813, down 26. The NASDAQ getting hammered, down 114, 1.5%, 7756. FTSE 100 lost 1.5% as well, down 113, 7497. The Nikkei, 22204. down 151. Shanghai Composite down over 2%, 2723. We weren't affected because this all happened after us. So ASX 200 yesterday up 29, 6329. We gained 15 on the NZX 50, 8987. On the currencies, against the US 0.6558, against the Aussie 0.9069, against the Euro 0.5784, against the pounds 0.5167, yen 72.56, gold trading at $1,177, Brent crude lower $71.07.
Fantastic. See you tomorrow morning, Andrew Kelleher at JMI Wealth. He and the team at jmiwealth.co.nz.